studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Welcome to Abounding Grace. This is a ministry of the United Reformed Church here in Linden. I am Pastor Chris Gordon. Thankful again for the opportunity to take up this great subject of marriage and the family. And yesterday, we looked at what Paul had to say to the Ephesians in chapter 5, where he gave this command that everyone is to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. And then he went on to tell wives to submit to their own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And God here gives this grand calling and this role for women to submit to their own husbands as to the Lord. Now, I said yesterday, a lot of people hear that word submit today, and the first thing they think is oppression. They equate submission with oppression, and that is, there's nothing farther from the truth. But the fact is that we've seen this breakdown of roles that God has defined at creation in setting and giving a family structure, instituting marriage as a blessing from Him. And here we see before us today the whole structure seeming to disintegrate. Families are breaking up. Divorce rates have never been higher. We looked at yesterday, it's now well above 50%, they say, that all marriages will end in divorce. And it seems that the statistics aren't much better even in the church, which certainly hurts the Christian's witness in the world. They say today that 2 out of every 3 children are put into daycare, mainly because the woman has left the home for the workforce and to earn money living in America, where we all want to obtain to the American dream. Children are being raised more and more in what we would say dysfunctional families. They aren't seeing mom, they aren't seeing dad in the roles that God has set down and defined for them at creation. Yesterday we looked at marriage is the most foundational institution. God has set it up so that everything else is built upon it. If it breaks down, the structure of society will break down into moral bankruptcy. So yesterday in looking at Ephesians chapter 5, we said that submission is achieved when the woman fulfills the roles that God has given to her. And it's interesting in Ephesians chapter 5 that Paul starts with the woman. I mean, isn't that a bit surprising? He didn't start with the man. Initially, we have to say, and Paul qualifies this, he says in verse 23, that the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. There's a danger to forget, and we looked at this yesterday, that in the family structure, there is a patterning of Christ in the church. And as Christ gave himself for his bride, the church, God calls husbands to give themselves for their wives. And in doing it, this pictures, as magnificent as it is, Jesus Christ giving himself sacrificially to lay down his life for his bride, his people. Now, an unruly and an unsubmissive church would make a mockery of that work, wouldn't it? But a body that is put in subjection to him, that falls in line where it should fall in line, experiences his warm embrace, will experience his tender love, his affection as a hen gathering her chicks. But a woman that does not submit, a church that does not submit, does not realize the damage that they're doing. The damage that a woman brings to herself and to her own husband, who is called to lead her by giving himself for her. She is actually forfeiting the loving care and protection that God has given to her. It's no wonder today that the independent woman is rejecting the normal family structure, finding herself groping around without any fulfillment. She's living uncharacteristic of what God designed and created her to be. One of the things we have to again stress, I guess, is male headship. And rightly so. We're in the mess that we're in because men have not done their job in leading and fulfilling the roles that God has given. The fall originally occurred because Adam didn't lead in the home. So why then does Paul start here with the woman in Ephesians chapter 5? Well, I submit to you, it has everything to do with the beginning. And if you ever wonder and look around in the world why things are such a mess, there's a reason, and that's because of the fall. All of us are fallen sinners. And we should never downplay what God actually set up at the beginning that was supposed to be a beautiful family structure. And now look at the mess we're in where we see the whole family disintegrating before us. You see, the truth of the gospel that Paul had already addressed is that all of these walls have come down in Christ. The middle wall of separation has been torn down with Jesus Christ. That's why we confess that there is now neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ. But Paul knew that with this truth, the freedom the gospel brings, there would be a tendency to abuse this new freedom. There would be a tendency now to repeat what occurred at the beginning. Now, if we turned over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, most of us know the account. God had created man and then created a helper suitable to him, the woman. She was taken from the rib of man. God brought her to the man, and man even named the woman. In their very being or essence, of course, they were the same, but their roles that God had given them were different. And that is amply brought out in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it's written, "For man is not from woman, but woman from man, nor was man created for woman, but woman for the man." She was created as a helpmeet for the man. And Paul expands upon this in speaking of an order. Listen to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." When you see 1 Corinthians 11, you see this hierarchy, this functional hierarchy established at creation. Functional roles, roles that weren't oppressive, but God assigned, beautiful roles. In his goodness, he gave them for society to operate in such a way that advancement would occur, that morality would be maintained, and most of all, that he would be glorified through the functions and tasks that he assigned to fathers and to mothers and to children. Lose this, society crumbles. Abandon these roles, morality falls in the gutter, and society begins to disintegrate right at its core. It unravels. And it doesn't take much to look in the news today to see it's happening. So what happened? Where did we come and how did we get in this mess? Well, in looking at the beginning and looking at creation, Adam should have led in the home, but instead he took the passive role. The woman tried to take over and usurp the authority of the man because he wasn't doing his job. And so then she undermined his authority, stepped outside of her role, and was deceived by the serpent as she took of the fruit and ate of that which God had forbidden. Now, this is, I guess, nothing that we don't already know. One of the things we have to realize is that in punishment for sin, God always gives people over to their own lusts. It's as if he says, "Okay, you've disobeyed me, you've rejected my commands, which are for your own well-being, therefore here you go, have your way. You will see the disaster it brings." And that's exactly what occurs in Genesis. It is the curse that interests us in Genesis chapter 3. Here the curse is pronounced upon the woman and the man, and this is what we read. "To the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.'" What does that mean? Your desire shall be for your husband? Well, knowing that God gives rebellious man over to their own lust, we have a good idea of what he's saying. We know it. The same construction is used with Cain when the Lord approached him. "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Sin's desire is for you. Your desire will be for your husband is part of the curse. Can't be sexual desire. That's not curse. This statement is said as a curse. There's nothing positive about the statement. Your desire will be for your husband. It's a sinful desire of what? Well, we're going to look here. The curse is essentially that now throughout the rest of time, there will be an innate desire to rule over the husband. There will be a sinful desire to control him. There's an inborn lust through the curse to usurp man's authority given to him by God, exactly patterned after what Eve did. But what about the man? On his end, we read, "But he shall rule over you." Not only will there be an innately passive role taken by the man, but his rule over the woman will be prone to be one of tyranny. So what do we have, friends? If we look at the biblical data, what do we have? As a result of the curse, we're living with a terrible tension in all marriages of women trying to control men and men, albeit passive, having a tendency to tyrannize women and neglect their duties as husbands. This is a tension that has gone on throughout history. While the man is held accountable for the marriage as the head of the home, any marital breakdown results from both rejecting what God has ordained. As they always say, it's a two-way street when a divorce happens. Now, this is a mess, but this is the reality. We see the terrible breakdown of marriages and the overthrow of the order that God has designed at creation. But here's what the gospel brings. Not bondage, but freedom. Freedom to again function in the roles that God's given. It's liberation at best for women to follow their God-ordained roles to be submissive to their husbands, and men to again take leadership in the home, not passively, but in loving them and giving themselves sacrificially for their wives. This is beautiful, friends. This is beautiful because it pictures so much Jesus Christ's self-sacrificial love for his church and his church's willing submission to him. Let's think about the roles that God has defined for us and given in marriage. Roles for men and the roles for women. And let's go back as it was from the beginning and honor God through what he has designed marriage to be. I'd like to give you a personal invite to the Linden United Reformed Church for worship, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. You may visit us on the web, www.lindenurc.com, or give us a call, 360-318-0429. May you continue to find your only comfort and hope in Jesus Christ alone for salvation.